Dear Jesus Christ, we begin our service with our opening hymn, 893, and you can remain seated for the first hymn, and then we'll continue with the invocation. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Let us join together and confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, even though you have called us to be your treasured possession, we have not always obeyed your voice, nor have we abided by our covenant with you. In our thoughts, words, and deeds, we have not behaved like the holy nation you created us to be. Through your unfailing love and tender mercy, remove our transgressions from us. Speak over us words of life that flow from the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, forgive us and restore us as your children. Amen. And all that the Lord has spoken, his Son has done. Jesus' obedient life was lived for you so that by his death and resurrection, you are now reconciled to the Father. And upon this your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Lord, announce his grace unto all of you. And in this stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O Lord. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. Tis the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory are his. Seize the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing, honor, glory, and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. Alleluia. Tis a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Father in heaven, you have brought us to yourself and made us your treasured possession through the saving work of our Savior. By the power of your eternal Spirit, may we extend your saving word unto all the world. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia. Amen. You may be seated. Old Testament lesson is taken from Exodus chapter 19. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you in eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Praise is unsearchable. Oh, your wondrous works I will meditate, and I would declare your greatness. The epistle is taken from the Romans chapter 5. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we shall also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. This is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And therefore pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter the town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without pain, give without pay. This is the gospel of our Lord.
To you, O Christ.
We continue with our next hymn, God Himself is Present.
Himself is present, hear the harps resounding, see the host, the throne surrounding. Holy, 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 hear the hymns ascending, songs of saints and angels blessed. Spirit, trusting only in thy merit, like the holy angels,
Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from Acts chapter 2, as also listed in your bulletin. The empowering presence of Christ. What's the biggest problem in our world today? As we look around, observe, we see a lot of things happening that aren't good. And thanks be to God that an Illinois man wasn't able to commit a massacre of congressmen at a baseball park. Such is the extent of sin. There's a demonic hatred. The demonic hatred that wants to kill that wants to slander, that wants to destroy people, which historically is not unusual. There's somebody else I'm thinking of that they wanted to kill, destroy, and they did slander and abuse him, and they wanted to kill him, and eventually did. His name was Jesus Christ. And yet he never gave in. He never compromised. He's always true to the word of his heavenly Father. There was a peace within Jesus Christ. There was a courage. There was a persistence to accomplish the will of God. Sin is horrible. And that is where the source of all problems are today. They can be traced back to disobedience to God, to the truth, and obedience to lies of Satan. What happens when a person is sinned against? Well, do you remember the days, when we were little kids? You ever remember getting your feelings hurt? Somebody laughing at you, making fun of you, calling you names. I mean, all of us at one time or another have had our feelings hurt, and somebody else sinned against us by their words or actions. And we experienced it. It's nothing unusual because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we also. Sin is spiritually experienced on three levels. Mentally, it affects how we think, our thoughts about the person who did something to us and ourselves. Second level is emotions. Our feelings are hurt. They're saddened, we're angry, we're mad, we're upset, we're afraid. And the third is the physical. Affects our physical body sometimes. It stresses us, gives us anxiety, you get stomach ache, you get all kinds of things, and it may affect our behavior also. Well, how does a person release themselves from sin, from the effects of sin, mentally, emotionally, physically? In other words, how can forgiveness be such an integral part of our life? Quite a few years ago, as a pastor, someone came to me with a problem. She was about 25 years old, married, with a couple kids, and she and her family and her parents all came to church together every Sunday, great Christians. She came and said, "I have a problem. Whenever I'm with my dad, I can't talk with him for more than a few minutes because I feel uncomfortable, and I don't know why. Is it him? Is it me? What's wrong?" And I said, "Well, how long has this been going on?" She said, "For the last 20 years." And I felt so sad for her that her relationship with her dad was affected like that. So I asked her, since it had been going on for 20 years, and she was about 26, I said, "Well, do you ever remember as a little girl experiencing a hurt with your dad when you were little?" She said, "Oh, yes." All of a sudden, it just triggered something off in her mind. She says, "Yes, I remember when I was a little girl, I did something wrong, and my dad really got upset with me in front of my friends." You can imagine how she might have felt. Felt guilty, maybe, felt sad, felt whatever, but it became a memory then. So that whenever she, even as a grown up as an adult, she was with her dad, it got triggered without her realizing, triggered this memory, and she became like a little girl again. Well, how are you going to solve that problem? Huh? Tell the dad to be nicer or something so she can feel comfortable, or tell her to? No, it was the original hurt that she experienced in her life, that she had never been able to really release from her life completely. And so I, among other scripture passages, because as a pastor, I believe the answers to the problems that we have in life are not found out there, but they're found in the Word of God. And so I went on a search of God's Word. And one of the things that I discovered again and again is the words, the presence of God. And when people departed from the presence of God, that wasn't good. Adam and Eve departed from the presence of the Lord when he was walking in the garden. Jonah departed from the presence of the Lord when he disobeyed God. And then in Acts, we see a turning point in the disciples' lives. Remember, the disciples were afraid, and they're hiding behind closed doors on Easter evening for fear of the Jews that they might be killed too, like Jesus was, and what's going to happen to us? And then 50 days later, Pentecost took place, and the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, and they were empowered by God like never before in their life. And it literally changed their life. They utilized this very power of God within them, the power of Christ. And they became courageous. They weren't afraid anymore. They weren't afraid of what other people might say. They weren't afraid of what others may do to them. It didn't matter anymore. There was one objective on their mind, and that is tell people the good news about people can be forgiven of their sins. You can be forgiven. You can be at peace with yourself and therefore with other people. Relationships can come together and be stronger. The purpose of the disciples going out and transforming the world with the Word of God was bringing people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Creator God. And didn't matter anymore what people may say or do to them, because they were on a different level, on a spiritual empowered level because of the presence of God. And Peter was preaching this sermon. In the midst of his sermon, all of a sudden, he quotes King David. Why would he quote King David? It says that David said about him, Peter said, about him, that is the Messiah, the coming Messiah, the Christ. This is what David said. I saw the Lord. In other words, with the eyes of faith, he saw the Lord. And now we have, when you see Jesus Christ, we often think of a painting maybe of Jesus, what he looks like or whatever. And that's perhaps what David saw in his own mind. But he saw Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, with the eyes of faith. He said, I saw the Lord. Always, not just on Sunday or Saturday, always. In other words, he was practicing that presence of the Lord with him. I saw the Lord always before me. Now, it's very interesting. Those words before me mean in front of my face. I saw the Lord always in front of my face, face to face. And that was an everyday occasion. He was practicing the presence of the Lord with him, personal, face to face.
That's how comfortable he felt with the Lord and his love and the peace that God gave to him. But he is practicing. Now, what would happen to a person who practices the presence of the Lord with him or her on a daily basis? David goes on to say. And I want you to note the words that David says, because the question we asked before was, how can I release myself from a hurt, some sin, not mentally, emotionally, and physically, because that's how it happened. That's how we experienced it. Oh, by the way, do you remember a hurt at some time in your life? Do you remember what it was like? You didn't like it, and I didn't either. Do you remember anything else happening to you when you were experiencing that hurt? If somebody asked me years ago, I'd say, no, just that hurt, and I didn't like it at all. Oh. And we thought that was the truth. We thought that was total reality, but it wasn't. It was a lie. We didn't know it. But there was something else happening to us. When we experience a hurt or a sin of someone else toward us, where was God? Where was Jesus? Isaiah 46, verse 3. I have upheld you since your conception, and I have carried you since your birth. And even to your old age and gray hairs, I am still continuing to sustain you and carry you. So where were you and I when we were experiencing a hurt in our life? In the arms of Jesus Christ. True? I have to confess, I didn't know that. Even though I grew up in the church and Sunday school, nobody told me. I know Jesus was with me, but I didn't know he was holding me. That's pretty close, isn't it? I'm holding you. I'm loving you. I'm at peace with you. I rejoice over you. That's reality. David goes on to say, because he, that is the Lord, is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. You see what's happening? He's experiencing the presence of the Lord. And one of the things that's affected is his thinking. I will not be shaken. Mentally. Goes on. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Now what is being affected? His emotions. His feelings. You want to know how do you counteract? What's the antidote to releasing the mental, emotional, physical aspects of sin? David is showing us. Continues, my body, here's the physical, my body also will live in hope. That's confidence, optimism. His physical body, he says, even experiences this optimism, this hope, looking forward to something. So mentally, emotionally, physically, he's being empowered throughout his body. You have made known to me the paths of life, David said. And that's important. Where do I walk? Where do I go? Moses said, you have to go with us, Lord, in the desert, lead these Israelites to the promised land. And God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. For the next 40 years, 24 hours a day, the presence of God would accompany Israel. And they would know and experience the mighty presence of God. Make a difference? It did for David. This young woman, I was speaking about and the problem she couldn't talk with her dad. And I said, first of all, I want you to do what Jesus did. Jesus would often go to a quiet place and commune with his Heavenly Father and experience his Heavenly Father's love and peace and strength and courage. Jesus, on one occasion to his disciples, he says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So I said to this young woman, okay, let's do that. I want you to close your eyes and go to a quiet place of your own choosing. Do whatever you want to in your quiet place, and then see Jesus come to be there with you. Why? Because he's already there, but you can kind of see him coming to you. And when you're ready, you see him pick you up in his arms and hold you. And she did that. And I said, what was that like when you saw Jesus coming to be with you? Oh, I liked him. What did he do when he came to you? He picked me up in his arms and he held me. How'd that make you feel? I felt very loved and at peace, secure, safe, confident in that personal relationship, reality. And I had her do this a number of times every day for a couple of weeks. And then I said, when you see Jesus holding you in his arms, then you can ask him, Jesus, carry me in your arms. To take a look at that time when I was a little girl, take a look at my dad, that situation. And she did. And after it was done, and I usually play relaxing music as a background, but when she was done looking at that particular hurt, her physical body was totally relaxed. And I said, well, what thoughts did you have? She said, it didn't seem to matter. Did you experience any hurts as you looked at that situation? He says, no, I didn't experience any hurts at all. I felt a peace, a calming peace and love. Of course, it was coming from Jesus Christ who was holding her. But when she looked at her dad, she said, he looked kind of sad and not very powerful. In fact, I had compassion on him. Well, a couple weeks later, she went over to have dinner with her parents and her dad. And she said, I sat down with my dad. We talked for a couple hours. Didn't bother me at all. Because I felt at peace. I felt confident. Didn't matter what he said or didn't say. I was very much at peace. And calm, confident. I thought, for the first time in 20 years, you've been able to comfortably talk with your dad. Your relationship with your dad grown closer. Why? Because she experienced the presence of God. Not just saying, Jesus is with me. Jesus loves me. But she actually experienced Jesus holding her. And that's what he's been doing ever since we were born, right? So why not get in touch with the reality and experience up close his overpowering, tremendous love and peace? Because you see, all our sins are forgiven. And so there's nothing distracting. There's complete peace. And calmness. I had another person mention too, this is how powerful the presence of Christ is. She said, a robber came in to rob me at my store and pointed a gun at my head and said, I'm going to shoot you if you don't do everything I tell you to do. Well, fortunately, the robber didn't shoot her, but she was left with a trauma of not being able to sleep at night. And whatever the doctor gave her, that didn't seem to help. And then she said, I remember what you taught us about the presence of Christ. And she knew how to do this. She did it. And she said, and she was able to release the anxiety, the fear, and the whole thing of that robber. And the net result was she was able to sleep at night. You see, when you confront anything in your life with the presence of Christ, do you know of anything more powerful than the presence of Christ and his love, his power? I can't think of anything. Confront whatever there is in life, whatever person or situation in life, confront it with the presence of Christ holding you, not standing beside you, holding you, because he is, because he loves you, and will never let go of you, no matter what. Practice that, as David was doing his life, and it transformed his life. No wonder David, Jesus said, David's a man after God's own heart. David had sinned, certainly, during his life, but he changed later on. And one of the things he discovered was the presence of God. David closes by saying, you have made known to me the paths of life. And he says to the Lord, you will fill me, not just a little bit, you will fill me with joy, spiritual joy. Indestructible joy. How's he going to do that? Read the next part of the sentence. What does it say? You will fill me with joy in your presence. That's how it happens. And it's not something I do. To get this joy, it's not something I have to say or do or whatever, but spending time in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and allowing his joy, as he said, I rejoice over you as singing. God sings over you. Isn't that nice? I mean, when's the last time somebody sang to you other than your birthday? Happy birthday to you. Oh, God has no competition. And so he says, I sing, I rejoice over you. Allow yourself to experience the rejoicing of God over you. And guess what? When you experience someone rejoicing and being happy and rejoicing over you every day of your life, you get up in the morning, what's God doing? He's rejoicing over you. How can you rejoice? You don't even have done anything yet. Doesn't matter. I love you. I love you. I rejoice over you. Can you handle it? And that joy all of a sudden becomes a part of us. And the more that joy of Jesus Christ seeps into our life, mentally, emotionally, as it did for David, you will fill me with joy, not just a bit. Be filled. So where do you get your joy from? Good things happening around you? No. From the things you do? No. From the things other people do? No. It's inside you already. That joy. Indestructible, fantastic, pure joy, David says. It fills us. You see, that's what counteracts. That's the antidote to all sins and problems in life. Therein is the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, given not just in words, but in himself, when he gives himself to us, as in communion, take my body, take my blood, it's given for you. He gives himself to us. And therein is the empowering presence of God. May God bless you as you, like David, practice. And, well, here's a way you can practice. You don't have to do it the way I do it, but it's an example. And I try to keep it simple because I can't remember things a whole lot. So, 6 words. And I say it every night in my prayers. One of the things I give thanks, thank you, Lord, for holding me. And then I say 6 words. Jesus holds me, I am loved. Jesus holds me, I am loved. Jesus holds me, I am loved. To reaffirm the reality of him holding me, and he loves me. You could also change it. Jesus holds me, I am forgiven. Jesus holds me, I am at peace. Jesus holds me. I encourage you to think about it. Consider, when you say your prayers, say those 6 simple words to affirm a beautiful reality of who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, continue to keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with our offering.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus. People according to their needs. For the expansion of Christ's kingdom, that we may share the gifts of our Savior and the work we do in his harvest field, let us pray to the Lord. Father, thank you for the mission that is ours in Christ. For the Christian church, both here and scattered throughout the world, that we may find our wholeness and unity in Jesus, our compassionate shepherd, let us pray to the Lord. Father, thank you for the unity that is ours in Christ. For all pastors, teachers, missionaries, and other servants of the church, that they may equip all the saints for the works of service, let us pray to the Lord. Father, thank you for the ministry that is ours in Christ. For all fathers, grandfathers, godfathers, and other men of faith, that they may use their vocations to be a blessing to others in the home and in the church, let us pray to the Lord. Father, thank you for the Christian family that is ours in Christ. For all public servants, including the members of the armed forces, that they would place their confidence in Christ, who is our help and shield, let us pray to the Lord. Father, thank you for the protection that is ours in Christ. For all who suffer in heart, mind, and body, that they may find wholeness in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Father, thank you for the healing grace that is ours in Christ. And Lord, we ask you to continue to be with Megan Dirks, who is undergoing appendectomy. Also be with Carla Thies and Wayne Lodge. Continue your healing power throughout their body, that they may continue the service they've given to you. And Lord, also be with those who experienced the attacks this last week in around Washington, D.C. And we ask your healing power may be with their bodies also, so that they may continue to serve you and also be with their families. For these and all other concerns we have, that our gracious Father may answer us for the sake of Christ, for the glory of his eternal kingdom, let us pray to the Lord. Father, thank you for the confidence that is ours in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the prayer of thanksgiving. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son to bring us into your kingdom, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace. As we have shared in the benefits of our Savior's death, may we now go forth to share his life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Alleluia. Amen. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Lord, send us out to proclaim your kingdom in your harvest field. The Lord does just as he sends us out with his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord looks upon you with favor and gives you his peace. Hallelujah. Amen.
voice of Jesus calling, who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest waiting, who will bear the sheaves away? Loud and long the Master calleth, rich reward he offers thee. Who will answer gladly, saying, here am I, send me, send me? Some take up his task in mourning, to their Lord responding to. Some are called Monday, others late in afternoon. Even as the sun is setting, some ascend into the fields, there to gather in the bounty that God's word so richly yields. For as rain and snow from heaven waters and desert soil, cleansing them to bud and flower, giving bread to those who toil, so the Lord sends forth his promise, words of life and joy and peace, never void to him returning, bearing fruit with great increase. Hearken to the Lord is coming, marks the time when grace shall end. And with his angelic reapers, he in glory shall descend. Soon the night, the final harvest, soon the time for work shall cease. Then the souls his grace has garnered shall enjoy his Sabbath peace.
Again, I'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to worship with you this evening. And also, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. But also, as you leave, to all the gentlemen, not just fathers, but to all the gentlemen, the Evangelism Board has a gift to give to you. I believe a cross, something like that, will be given to all the gentlemen as you leave. So enjoy the weekend.